woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis.
I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown.
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. That's Tom Howe. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Kevin O'Neill with us as well. We have, in our up and down U market, we got the S&P futures up 61. Dow futures up 598. They were just 600. NASDAQ futures up 180. So we're on the top of the U here. We'll see if we stay here or we go back down. Kevin, how are you?
Good morning. Doing fine. Happy Wednesday, because they're all happy.
Yeah, and so Fed's Mester says market route didn't force U.S. race cut or threat of Trump spanking or waterboarding or anything. Why do we believe these people?
It was just time, huh?
Yeah, it was just time.
Oh, well, cool.
Did anybody think that with China car sales off 80%, that there's a liquidity problem, Kevin?
Well, there's a lot of problems, and I don't think any of them are the are related to interest rates. To me, right now, I am by no means a market expert, but what I'm seeing in business community is that the uncertainty is around duration of this. Now, if we're looking at a rough quarter because of all of the trade disruptions, then so be it. But if we're looking at 6, 8, 9 months of trade disruption, that's going to be a problem, because you know it's one thing for Apple to have to delay their new iPhone and to have to close 2,000 stores in China, but Apple has a lot of cash. Apple can withstand that. But the typical manufacturer that operates in that with 50 to 200 employees, that kind of midsize or small manufacturing operation or warehousing operations that distribute Chinese products, if they don't have the stockpile to withstand this, so if this is going to drag on for 9 months, it's going to be a serious hit to the economy. And like I said, if we get 30 days out from now and we say, okay, it's starting to subside and things are on their way back to normal, then I think the markets will say, okay, I'm glad to know that now, and they'll rebound somewhat. But when you're sitting here saying I have no idea how long this is going to be, I would not feel bullish either.
Well, it's very, very difficult, especially the way the financial press is going now, Kevin, because we are on the show, and I think we're all sort of there. I probably don't lead a lot of the discussion, but I do lead the economic discussion, I think, in terms of it's not just all market averages. It's individual stocks in there, and at the end of the day, the wealth of the country is the wealth of every person in the country added together, right? I mean, it's not, you can make broad brushing, pontificating statements, but that's exactly what they are. And what you just said is very, very true. We're not going to know, especially when we know the overall debt numbers are pretty friggin' high from the government on down. Despite what governments say, or what a lot of, use the term, economically ignorant people, that somehow or another, governments should have the same budget as companies or the same budget as families. And they should, family couldn't work that way or a business couldn't work that way. That again, Kevin, carries absolutely no rigorous study to it whatsoever. Virtually every family that has kids that you're going to, certainly now in this day and age when you're going to try and go to college, you have years where you save and you have years where you're in deficit. Same way for any kind of a business. The farmer goes into debt in April when he buys his seed and everything else and maybe pays a couple of people to help him drive the tractor and plant all the stuff. And he pays interest on the load until comes November and he goes in with their corn and he gets his cash and he pays people back your day to get up, do good deeds, go to sleep, repeat or something, right? something like that. Yeah, and
it's the same thing, Tom. That a startup business.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Unless you finance it with cash out of your pocket, you're starting with debt, and hardly anybody does it with cash out of their pockets. But if you get venture capital, okay, so we call it equity then. But yeah. Is it not debt?
Well,
don't you owe somebody here?
And the whole point of the problem that governments seem to have is that they've got themselves so over-promised to people, be it right or left, that even in quote good times, there's never a surplus. I remember one of the.
Well, I agree, but I think the bigger problem governments have is that they spend a lot of money on stupid stuff, and they spend a lot of money on what are essentially legalized forms of corruption.
I'm with you there, but I'm saying the
because that would be a problem regardless is what I'm saying.
Well, but it's the same thing.
I would consider that to be a big deal, even if the government were running a surplus.
But what I'm saying is, back when John and I were on the score, for God's sake, one morning on the way, and I remember it because I said something intelligent for once in a while. It had to be, I don't know what it was, the middle of the.
You did mark that date on the wall?
I should have.
You did put a little notch.
It was kind of in the middle of the. The Clinton era, and again, I'm not saying anything about him being a positive thing, but it was, I think a lot of it had to do with the initial run-up in the market, and we actually had a big surplus in the federal government. And I think part of the reason for that surplus, Kevin, was people bought stocks at $5 and sold them at $200, and they had to pay taxes on all that stuff, and the people who bought them at $200 and sold them a year later at $5 could take off $3,000 a year. So It was an inequity in the tax law. It basically sucked a lot of money out of people in a lot of ways. But plus, the economy was pretty good. Anyway, there was a surplus. State of Illinois still was running a deficit. And I said to John driving in, I go, if the state of Illinois can't be even today, this month, this year, we got a problem because it's never going to get any better. And you know what? Talking about truer words were never spoken, right? Well, so now,
yeah.
Well, now we've got this issue. Or, Trump's group, regardless of Tim or whoever. The fact is, they're running a $1.4 trillion deficit, which, in his words, the greatest economy ever. Of course, nobody discounts that. And then I actually heard somebody yesterday on one of the talk shows saying that the Fed has done their stuff. Now the Fed, the Congress has to do their part and has to start spending a whole bunch of money. Jesus, Kevin, $1.4 trillion is like a lot. It's a 5% deficit in good times.
Yeah, don't even say that. Nobody should say that out loud because somebody might hear and take it seriously. Because if they aren't doing their part already,
yeah,
then do not wave that red flag in front of the bull.
Well, because the thing of it is, a lot of people feel, again, sort of what you just said. All right, but a pure Keynesian is looking for the government to create a deficit. It really doesn't matter. I mean, you and I would say. We're a hell of a lot better off, building a Hoover Dam, a Tennessee Valley Authority, or a Golden Gate Bridge, where all of a sudden you open up whole areas to commerce, and it's a massive investment that you're going to get your money back from, either through tolls or electricity, or just
right,
because
building building a train line out to Midway.
Yeah, so you're gonna get some stuff back for, but the true Keynesian doesn't qualify it like that. If you go down to State in Madison and open up a briefcase of $100 bills. You've got stimulus. So when people say we need an infrastructure program, they're either saying we need to spend an additional amount of, quote, stimulus, right, which I don't know how much more we can spend. Or, like you're saying, you and I are saying, well, if we're going to piss away $1.4 trillion a year, let's at least do a better job of it and getting something out of it. You know, and it's not about spending 10 years screwing around with massive millions of dollars paid off to God knows who's doing the job to burn interchange. New investment would be, are we going to build the crosstown? You know, are we going to put another line on the train to O'Hare so you get downtown in 15 minutes or 20 minutes instead of 40?
Are we going to put more exits on the tri-state,
right,
so that, so that more, but do you realize how many people, just where I live, I should pull out the documentation for this, but how many tens of millions of people live within 4 hours of here? And, you know, the same thing. How many tens of millions of people live within 4 hours of, say, the northern suburbs or the southwest suburbs or whatever? And if you made that one road more accessible, what a boon that would be for distribution of all kinds of products.
Oh, sure. Well, plus, when you say 4 hours, you're talking probably if you had it. We're not talking about, you know, some high-speed meg line or anything. But if you had
talking about in a truck.
Yeah, but I'm talking about even an 85-mile-an-hour train line. I mean, why don't
we? Except you're not going to haul freight at 85 miles an hour. Most of our transport, it goes via truck anyway. A lot goes via train, but most of it goes via truck.
Okay, so what's to stop somebody if you have a train that starts, well, where's the place where we lost the Chevy plant? Was it Belvedere? Not Belvedere. What's the place in Wisconsin? Janestown?
Oh, Janesville?
Yeah, Janesville. I'm going to say, Kevin, that if you put a line to Janesville, and of course, and you got rid of some of the crossings and all the other stuff, so you could go a lot faster, I would bet that if you had like the last car on the train, the side opened up and you could put 15 pallets in there, or 20 from UPS or Federal Express or something, I would bet you that car would be used constantly.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. That would probably get used a lot, but on the other hand, Janesville is right now, southeastern Wisconsin's kind of booming. There's a lot going up there, so it probably wouldn't actually get used that as much
because there's
a whole bunch of local opportunity there.
Well, you're talking about the alleged crap with what's the place in Kenosha?
Well, with Foxconn, but it's all at Kenosha right now. If you were to drive up 94, just get off any one of those Kenosha Racine exits, you'll see all kinds of distribution businesses going up there.
Well, my point is that there's little things you can do that can add a lot that just cause for a little sense. I mean, I talk about the train line down the east side, east suburbs of Chicago, south. God, Kevin, I had a meeting with this guy, it had to be 5-6 years ago. Things no closer. What are we doing? I mean, what does infrastructure mean? Look at the money we totally pissed away on the Y2K, the Homeland Security Act. Where is this stuff?
Well, or stimulus in 2009.
Yeah.
Remember, that was going to all go to shovel-ready. If it went to real shovel-ready products, that would have been money well spent. But instead, we said shovel-ready wasn't as shovel-ready as we thought, and nevertheless spent every cent of it.
Yeah, and for what? I mean, Pete Najarian was on the board of, I don't know, one of the western suburbs, and it's so screwed up that they had a rehab, refit, whatever you want to call it, modernization of the train stop. I think it was in Western Springs? One of the springs, Willow Springs, Western Springs. I think it was Western Springs. And finally they get this dough from the government. It was one of these shovel-ready deals, I think. And it was like a $4 million project. Well, in the meantime, somebody had come in with a better project, a lot nicer, everybody liked it a lot better, it was like 2.8. And the guys on the board go, hey, can we amend our thing? And the guys say, hey, these idiots gave you the 4.5. Just spend it. If we try to give it back to them or tell something else, it'll never work. Like, okay. I mean, are we really that bleeped up? I guess we are.
Yes, pretty much.
And I know, I don't, I mean, what's, what, I mean, how many, anyway, I'm saying, I mean, Chicago has some transportation issues. They also have air rights over, over train tracks, right? They have all kinds of things here that, that is, that are massive infrastructures. I mean, you look at the South Side, there's all kinds of areas. Now, as to why, you know, with all the, with all the trains, with all the stuff, I mean, I, if you put a crosstown in, or if you would have put the crosstown in, I'm thinking a lot of these other transportation hubs would not even be there, Kevin. Well, they might be there, but they, I mean, nobody has the rail access Chicago does. And, you know, so, I mean, what are we doing? Is every single spot in government, is every single spot this foolish? Is there time anywhere? I used to think that there actually were people on these committees in Congress, and maybe there still are, that in the midst of all your campaign BS, are there 15 sober during the day and intelligent and workaholic people sitting on the Agriculture Committee working on the next agriculture bill to make it better than the last one? I don't know, Kevin. Or does anybody even care? Is it a bunch of clerks? Is it, did staffers work on it? The other guys just run around and grab money? I mean, I don't know. I mean, is it functional? Doesn't appear that it is, really.
Well, I'm assuming that there are some, you know, there are plenty of smart people working there. The question is, you know, who are they trying to help?
Well, yeah, I mean, what is the motivation?
No, I think that's a big challenge, is that we, you know, there's too many constituencies that are not the same as what's good for the public.
Well, and I think there was a time, and this comes from, you know, I'm not going to say that everything was, you know, the Mayberry stuff, but when I was on the CBOE board, there was a pecking order. When I say a pecking order, sounds awful, but so many people came to the trading floor, they're independent businesses, or maybe you work for somebody, but most people were independent, and or if a guy might have three traders, so you're still semi-independent. And if somebody says, hey, I'm not going to, I don't need my ass on the train every night at 3:30, I'll stick around for a committee. Okay, so, you know, you join a committee, I join membership. And then, after a while, they said, hey, you want to be a floor official? Okay, so there's two. Then I ended up on something else. And then maybe you get appointed to a double secret committee, like financial committee, where you actually know all the numbers and stuff. Well, the idea is once you were a three committee guy, and you became like a chairman, maybe of one of them, which I did, that was, if there was a road to the board, that was it. And after being a chairman of a couple of years, you went in front of the nominating committee and they said, here's a guy. I mean, most things, as you know, Kevin, and I think Maddie's beginning to learn, is it's 90% perspiration, 10% inspiration, right? I mean, no matter what it is you do. And it comes out as, here's a guy who's willing to give stuff back. I mean, nobody got paid for any of this stuff. He's willing to give stuff back to the place. And oh, by the way, he solved the problem here, solved the problem there. Those kinds of things, and the people on his committee seem to like him. Everybody wants to be on that committee, that sort of thing. Here's a guy that's ready to be one of the floor board members. It isn't just you shout up and make an ass out of yourself at a meeting and are contrary, and all of a sudden you're in there. And I think that back in the day, maybe when you actually went to Congress before you moved up the chain, you had to actually sit in the committee for a while, come up with a few ideas to where you're sort of noticed, not loud, but actually said, you know, this is the way we've been doing this for 30 years. Here's the better way, and here's why. Even if it's a little piece of the agriculture bill, your first year or second year, a little something, where all of a sudden people go, hey, this Kevin guy, all the other people can't wait to get out there and get their face in front of the camera. He actually brings something to the table and does a good job while he's here and actually seems to give a crap. And all of a sudden, maybe you're second in command of that thing 4 years before your time. But that's the way people used to gain respect and work up the chain. Now, nobody seems to really care. Let Oprah be president. Okay. Let Donald Trump be president. He was on TV. I mean, it's an entire world that I don't even really understand. You know, I'm not saying.
Yeah, and that's the political world. You know what? But on the other hand, let's look at a different example. So let's look at Buttigieg's week. He tried to make the big leap, and if he would have caught fire, I'm sure he would have been more than happy to ride it to the nomination. But he didn't. What did he do, though, is he pulled out of the election, you know, quickly. Unlike some of the others did, too, but Warren hasn't.
Yeah.
Of course, she's not going to get another chance after this, and... Bloomberg's still claiming he's going to press on, and he'd like to see he says he knows his only chance is to have nobody have enough delegates going into the convention, so he's going for the chaos move. But the point is that Buttigieg not only his phone rang from higher up. I talked to somebody yesterday who works on the campaign, and so he got pressured, but at the same point. He now has a war chest. He has money in his campaign coffers. He is going to work the process. He's going to have not just the ability to throw his support and to go out and make speeches on people's behalfs and so on, but he's got money to spread around. It's this fairy dust to spread around to help out some of the campaigns. And this isn't just the Biden campaign. Because that's not going to need as much money. This is congressional campaigns and maybe some local things. He's going to build up over the next 4 years. He's going to build up a base of support because he's going to do exactly what you said. He's going to be working on behalf of the party and say what's good for the party is going to align well with what's good for Buttigieg, and that'll be good for his profile.
But he came on as
good, and good. You know, a lot of people are going to owe him.
But he also
that's politics as it's owe you in what you described as the business world where people you build up a bank of respect.
Well, right, and I think Buttigieg. Who knows? There's still people that feel weird about things, but I think he put the rest of the gay thing. He came across as a gentleman pretty much everywhere. Came across as remarkably probably more intelligent than anybody else up in the place. On the stage, in a lot of ways, and he got himself on the national stage. It was a tremendous opening for him, an opening act, I think.
Yeah, it was probably intended to be a trial run all along. But I always thought that Obama's first run at the presidency was intended to be a practice run too, because Hillary was inevitable. And when it turned out she wasn't inevitable, he was there.
Well, the biggest trial run ever had to be Clinton going against Bush. None of the quote good wasn't the term. None of the prominent Democrats would run against him because he was such a shoo-in. So he put this young guy up there with the idea that he'll run this time and he'll lose, but he'll be a good campaigner and everything. And next time he's a shoo-in. Okay, Bush self-destructs on the economy and the guy wins. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are the chances of Clinton...
Because, as we learned, it's the economy, stupid.
Well, it's also, George won somehow disconnected with people. And Clinton connects pretty good.
And by contrast, Clinton connected with people.
Yeah. We're going to come back, Kevin. We're going to talk about the market here and about all this kind of stuff that's getting canceled. Yesterday, I'll try and describe, when I have everything up here, I got the numbers... Describe what happened when the thing came out from the Fed. This is crazy. We ran 800 points and then 85 spook points when the announcement came out. Then we went down just as fast and kept going. And it's really the 10-year yield dropped under 1%, which is really the reason why these guys lowered the rates, because the rates are down that low anyway. I mean, because there's that much money already in the system. That's the weird part of this whole mess.
Dow futures might as well lower the rates as long as the rates are down, huh?
Yeah, might as well. Dow futures, well, you're lowering short-term rates.
Might as well lower the rates to what the rates are.
But they also lowered the rates that they're paying banks at the Fed. So S&P futures up 69.75. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter: the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley, Mr. Matt Weber, Mr. Kevin O'Neill on the phone. S&P futures up 74.75. NASDAQ futures up 214. Just a little bit about Mr. Matty Weber here. Your favorite guy is going to a runoff in the Alabama Senate primary. Did you see this, Matty?
I don't know who you're talking about or what you're talking
your
about.
Your favorite person ever, Jeff Sessions, is going up a guy named, here's the name, Tommy Tuberville. Now, who the hell? Only
he was
the
a
South.
Football coach, wasn't he?
I mean, he's only in the South could you be running with the name Tommy. You know, anyway.
That is the former football coach.
Yeah, must be. Yeah. And the other thing, Mr. O'Neill, Matt Weber is seriously thinking about going back to Catholic Church now, since you don't have to shake hands with the guy next to you, because he's an antisocial sort to start with.
They're getting rid of holy water for a while.
Yeah.
They're getting rid of the handshake, and then even the drinking out of the chalice and the wafer.
I thought the wine, doesn't the wine kill the current coronavirus?
I don't know.
Any stronger wine. I'm just saying.
Well, if it's really, the consecrated wine ought to kill anything, right?
You would think so if it's consecrated. What's the use of it? S&P futures up 689.
I thought it was the blood of Christ.
Oh, yeah. Well, it starts out as wine, though.
Oh, okay.
Just saying, you know. Iran cancels Friday prayers in major cities as death toll rises. Anyway, it's kind of bizarre. Meanwhile, the market's up 600 points. DAX up 186, 1.5%. FTSE up 126, 1.8. CAC around up 88, 1.6. Just remember, the stock market in the Weimar Republic is way up too, as everybody was walking around bushels of worthless currency. Nikkei up 17 points. Call that flat. Shanghai up 18.6%. Hang Seng down 62.2%. South Korea stocks were up 2%. The China's service sector came out really low, and 80% down on their car sales. That can't be good. Bonds were back over 1%, 1.009. Bund minus 0.61, Japan minus 0.14. We've got oil up 97 cents, 48.15, making a run at 50 bucks again. Brent up $1.07, 52.93. Natural gas 180, RBOB 156. Over in the metal spot, gold up $1.50, 16.45. Huge run on the GDX on the way up last couple days, so my guys have made a big recovery there. Silver up 5 cents, 17.24. Copper 2.59. That's a lot of stuff here, Matty. What do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're actually off to a great start on the area expressways. For whatever reason, light traffic coming in on the Edens and Kennedy thus far. Traffic starting to build on the Eisenhower and Stevenson, but no issues to report. Same for the Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford. Suburban tollways are all quiet, as is Lakeshore Drive in both directions. Only issue that we have to report this morning is a relatively serious one, or very serious if you're involved. Central Avenue between 54th Street and Archer is closed due to an accident where a car hit a freight train, or probably vice versa. The freight train hit the car, and investigation's underway. Don't have further details than that, but it doesn't sound great. And that's closing Central between 54th and Archer Avenue. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, cloudy skies early, some rain in the forecast, a high of 43, and then we could get some sunshine this afternoon. Right now it's overcast, rainy, and 37 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 75 today. Right now it's clear and 51. In sports, don't look now, but the Blackhawks have won 3 in a row and are finding themselves back into the playoff picture. They blew out the Ducks last night 6-2. Hawks are 6 points out of the final playoff spot with plenty of time to make that up. They just got to keep winning. Coyotes were off last night. Bulls were off as well. Suns lost at home to the Raptors 123-114. And DePaul with a nice upset win over Marquette at home last night 69-68. Chief.
So there it was. Minding my own business, as usual.
As usual, yes.
And I was on the, where do you buy tickets now? What's the hot ticket site these days? StubHub?
That's one of them. There's like 20.
All right. Well, I was on StubHub thinking I should reward Stacks and Jacks contributors and stuff with $1,000 seats on the side of the Bulls on the floor. And all of a sudden the headline came across, no more autographs, no more high fives. So I pulled my order. If I can't high five somebody, why do I want to pay $1,000 for a ticket? Just saying.
That's a good question.
What are those going for now? I mean, they can't be going for $1,000.
Well, when I went, I'm going to say 10 years ago, the face was $750.
Well, I know that, but I'm saying, I'm not talking about the face. I'm talking about what are they going for today?
Well, I have no idea.
This seems horrible.
I think you should check. Since you
not only are they bad, the guys that you'd actually want to watch, a lot of them are out and have been.
Plus, so they can't high five you.
And they can't, well, I don't need a high five, but. Yeah.
So, of course, PTI personnel immediately said, what about the low five? I got nobody low fives. What about the fist bump?
I mean, you know, I feel like the fist bump is a little bit less germy.
Hey, I'm going to a basketball game tonight. I'll report back.
Now, are you guys going to there's a lot of stuff being canceled all over the place. What do you think about what are we going to do with the NCAAs? If they get the first case in Arizona, I bet they beg spring training.
Well, it will be interesting when to see if they get cases. I don't even know what the sites are, but are there any sites in the state of Washington, for example?
Sites of what?
Of the tournament games.
Early round tournament sites.
Well, I don't know. I bet there usually is.
Yeah, I'd have to pull up the tournament, but I bet you there are, or certainly that region is going to have sites, but whether they're actually in the state of Washington remains to be seen, but that'll tell us a story, won't it? Because we already know that that's an area that's had more instances than any place else.
So I'm looking at the locations here. We have Dayton, Ohio; Albany, New York; Spokane, Washington. There you go. St. Louis, Tampa, Greensboro, Omaha, Sacramento, California, Cleveland, Indianapolis, L.A., Houston, New York, and Atlanta.
So there's going to be some team that gets sent to Spokane, and, you know, what's going to happen? They're going to say, you know, would you mind if we go to the NIT?
pretty much. What, I'm reading here, and I'm trying to multitask, talking to you fine gentlemen. I'm trying to find out what happened. I'm looking at these epidemic curves of, like, SARS and the 2000. What's the other? The swine flu was, one of them was 2002.
Yeah, it seems to me H1N1 had, like, 1,000 deaths in the U.S. in the first 6 months, so we aren't close to that yet.
Right, but the H1N1, I was reading yesterday that the one, it was very close to the 1918 epidemic. Same sort of, molecular structure. And but then I was reading that they thought it was a combination of a bird virus, a pig virus, a human virus, and then somehow or another in Europe, something else, another swine virus from.
I prefer to go by Mr. Swine.
Mr. Swine from the Ukraine or someplace. So it was a combination of four viruses, and it wasn't as bad as the one in 2018. But I'm curious as to. I mean, here's what I'm asking about. I'm on Wikipedia here. How did SARS disappear? Research published in 2013 in the Journal of Infectious Diseases, oh, there's one you can read and put yourself to sleep at night, concluded that by all accounts, SARS seemed to be gone. For the virus to reappear, the World Health Organization stated it would have to come from one of three sources, an animal, another laboratory accident. So was there a laboratory accident that set that thing free? Or from undetected transmission among people. Seems to me, Kevin, I have a reasonable idea of how they appear. I don't know how they just all of a sudden go. I mean, there's just enough people work its way through everybody and less and less people, and then it just weather changes or what? It's very bizarre. But then they do reappear, always a little different. And, you know, this one is, again, a little different, right? No, if we had a biotech place, and we said we want to start working on a vaccine, what does somebody do? Do they send us the DNA map, the gene map, or do they actually send us, you know, a test tube of the stuff, or both?
That's not a question I can answer, Tom. I wouldn't.
We
need an expert on this.
Ask an expert. Yeah, we need an expert. Because we've had these. This is not all that unprecedented. I mean, this was 2013, the SARS, and the second swine flu was what, 2008, 2009. So it's not like
something
this,
like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's and everybody is it just the hype of media that's making this one seem that much? I mean, I don't remember. Any basketball games or any baseball games being canceled in 2009, do you?
I don't.
And I remember but people not being able to
high-five. It is somewhat media hype. First of all, it's political season, and second, we have gotten in that, in that mode anyway, in media. So, you know, to the extent that it turns into the political arguments as well, that's a problem. That just gets it out. You know, it gets it into discussions where it never was before. I guess that's the best way I can say
I think when you have how many stations that need to talk all day for 24 hours, God bless, you know. This is the one that 2009 flu pandemic. The 2009 flu pandemic or swine flu is an influenza pandemic. It lasted from early 2009 to late 2010. The second of two pandemics involving H1N1 influenza virus, the first one being 1918-20. It was a Spanish flu pandemic, even though people think it came from Kansas. But, you know, you'd much rather name it for those Spanish dudes, not the Kansas guys.
Nobody expects the Spanish flu.
Yeah. Plus, it was a new version, okay? It was get a load of this. The first described in April 2009, the virus appeared to be a new strain of H1N1, which resulted when a previous triple reassortment of bird, swine, and human flu viruses further combined with an Eurasian pig flu virus, leading to the term swine flu. It is estimated that 11 to 21% of the then global population, or around 700 to 1,400 million people, contracted the illness, more in absolute terms than the Spanish flu pandemic. However, with about 150,000 to 575,000 fatalities, it had a much lower case fatality rate of 0.01 to 0.08%. So, out of, you know, whatever, 100 million people, only 200,000 died. So, only. But, seems to me that, I don't know where everybody thinks this one's going, but that was pretty bad. And I didn't hear people not shaking hands at church or anything like that with that one. Just saying.
Well, I didn't either, but, again, you know, I'm old and feeble-minded and might not remember. So it's entirely possible that there were some accommodations. I do vaguely remember that, you know, we got way more into hand sanitizer at the time.
Yeah.
Than ever before. And that's, you know, that's always a decent idea anyway. But, I don't know what to make of it, Tom, other than I think... that we are still don't know exactly what to do about it. One of the people on Trump's team of medical people is saying that they expect to have some kind of treatment in a month or so. I don't know if that's going to be approved for distribution or if it's going to be developed and ready for experimenting. You know, I don't know, but that we are at least 9 to 12 months away from what you would call a cure. But, you know, a treatment is a step in the right direction. I'm good with that idea.
Well, I mean, if it is something that, you know, everybody's going to get, like the cold, and you have a crummy week and you survive, it's somewhat of a sharp stick in the eye, but it's not something that people don't put up with all the time anyway. There must be, you know, I mean, unfortunately. Anyway, yesterday we came out, we were up in the market, then we were way down. Not way down, but we were somewhat down. All of a sudden we popped, unless you saw the, of course I'm still getting notifications that the Fed cut the rate 0.5 point, you know, 5 minutes after the market already moved. So we run up pushing 90 points on the S&P, which is a big move, just boom, 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 right up. And then we start, you know, coming the other way. Then we end up going way down on the day, and we end up with a horrible day, which, I mean, I'll get the actual numbers up here because it's probably very close to on the horrible side where we are right now. So yesterday we were down 785, and right now I've got the Dow up like 700. S&P 500 is down 86, and now it's down up, it's up 71. NASDAQ's down 268, it's up 207. So we're 75% of the way back. The for the first time yesterday, I saw a few equities that I was looking at for my clients, where there were no markets, Kevin. You know, 5 cent bid at 450, where people bailed. They only have four people that put markets in right now because we got to get rid of everybody else, right? Can't have any, you know, it has to be very exclusive. Now, what does this mean to this jacking around back and forth, half a point here? All of a sudden, we're going negative interest rates. Maybe, I mean, does it appear to people that who's ever quote in charge is somehow, you know, what was the commercial where the guy was? Don't worry, everything's under control. Everything's falling down around him. I mean, what is the cause of all this stuff? I mean, is it just nobody seems to know the way or what?
I think right now there's a lot of, first of all, there's a lot of BS flying around, so that, you know, that doesn't help. And punditry from people who don't know, which I guess is what we're doing right now too.
I'm going to disagree with you on that. What my theme this week has been, and I said the last couple of weeks, and I think a lot of the contributors are with me, is that I'm astounded of how much I don't know right here. But the stuff I'm reading from sources that I think are good to people, for people. But I've yet to see Any kind of rig, maybe people are doing it inside at Goldman Sachs and not telling anybody, which is their right, of course. I've yet to see a 5-page article that says, by the way, here's 50 companies that are, we're getting up to their neck in debt anyway. And oh, here's another 25, countries that are up to their neck in debt, including us. And by the way, here's the degradation we're seeing because of this, just what you said earlier, the 3-month scenario, 6-month, 9-month scenario. And when is this going to clash? When does the 80% car sale down in China bump up against a guy who's got a $400 million U.S. Denominated debt that now all of a sudden with the Rwanda down he can't make his interest payment this month, and now that interest payment is supposed to find its way to Santander Bank or Deutsche Bank or Citigroup? And it's not. I've yet to read anything rigorous, anything intelligent like that anywhere, Kevin.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not seeing that. That being explained well anywhere either. I've seen a little bit Sunday on Maria Bartiromo's show, but that was about it.
I met her, you know, out in the swimming pool in where were we? We were at the Sheraton Scottsdale. Or were we at Gaining Ranch? She came out to one of the Option conferences. Very nice lady.
You like her?
Yeah, she's a... She was in her bikini. She looked fine. I actually looked halfway decent at the time, too. I don't know how she looks. I know how I look now. Just saying. I bet she looks better than me.
Older.
Yeah, she bet she looks better than me. But, no, she's very pleasant.
But, you know, hey, she's a nice-looking woman. But I think, you know, her. What I like about Maria Bartiromo is I think she's a good interviewer. I think she asks a lot of good questions and doesn't let people just throw crap answers at
she's
her.
She's a
little bit.
She's a tough babe. Down, and she came from like how many exits down in Jersey? The back when she first started.
Yeah, well, the New York people would laugh at that, at Jersey being the place where you go for tough.
Well, when she first started on the floor, I mean, they didn't. First of all, nobody wanted a woman on the floor, and they didn't like the idea that the TV was there, right? So then. She didn't have, there weren't like earphones and things like that. So when they wanted her to say something, there was a flash of news, they would go and hand her this piece of paper. You'd see guys running by and like kind of bumping into her and jamming a piece of paper in her hand. Well, the guys on the floor used to do is they'd jam some piece of paper in her hand, but let's say, some people, I'll clean it up and say we're asking her for a date that night. She looked out thinking it was news and that's not what it was. they did not treated her like somebody on the trading floor. And that's how on the trading floor, there were no prisoners. Your buddy, what the hell's his name? The guy, he ran for president, Bob Dole. The guy who couldn't smile because he had the shrapnel, you know, war hero, the whole bit. Good guy. He comes down to the trading floor, sure can't, well, those guys don't shake hands. They just pat your hand. Because there's no way you can actually shake hands with 2,000 people a day and not come out of it after a week with a band hand, right? So, somebody immediately put the, what do they call it, things where they tape the trail on your shoes with the, you know, you yoke all the paper together so it looks like a chain. He had two big, somebody got to his shoes behind Secret Service and put the thing, and he's walking along with this 2-foot train of, thing on each one of his Oxfords. Anyway.
Oh my.
So yeah, the trading floor was an interesting spot, and if you weren't ready to hold your own right away, it was not a good thing. And Maria did, so my hat's off to her. And when she did that, she absolutely pioneered. It was not clean like today. I mean, guys would go by and they'd bang right into her, you know, with an order, and they'd say, "Hey, she's in my way. I got to get this order in." I mean, and I'd say she never backed down. So, by the way, so there was my
yeah. So it's not surprising that her interviewing works the same way.
Yeah. I mean. Anyway, so you were saying before I horribly interrupted you.
Oh, I have no idea what I was saying before we veered off.
You were saying in her interview she was zeroing in and like...
This is sort of like, you know, what I tell people when I'm talking about public speaking. Watch Trump sometime. As soon as he says the words, by the way...
Yeah, oh yeah, you're gone.
Watch what happens after that, because he's veering off someplace, and you have no idea where, and you have no idea if he's ever coming back.
What was Colombo in another thing? Wasn't that his
what about
thing?
Colombo?
Wasn't his thing, oh, there is one more thing or something like that?
Oh,
or?
One more thing, yeah. He was one more thing, but he was linear. He was just working his guy.
Oh, all right. Well, just saying, you know.
You know, Trump, it's funny because it's impromptu, and, but, you know, as soon as he says, oh, by the way, he's going to go off and talk about something, and I am sure that there are people on his staff going, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
where is he going to go, and is he ever going to get back on script after this? And, you know, you don't know the answer.
No, you don't. And I mean, right now I would find it, I mean, I've had obviously a whole bunch of people calling about, you know, should I buy the dip, should I buy here, should I buy there? And I'm like, you know, until I find something that says, now this morning we got Disney up 285, trading 119.30. I don't know. When are there places going to open up in China? What is the move? Now, again, like you said earlier, Kevin, if this is going to be a swine flu, SARS, that's, you know, come Memorial Day, what were we even talking about? You know, the economy will recover.
Or we just let out a deep breath and say, okay, you know, that was bad, but it's diminishing. You know, and for instance, let's just say let's suspend disbelief and say we believe the Chinese numbers, that the numbers of new cases has fallen. I don't trust anything they say, but let's say, okay, that would be what I consider good news, because, you know, after they, you know, when they're finally reacting and treating it, I think that gets us to a better place, because whatever, you know, if they're having fewer instances, then they can start sending people back to work, and you know, there's a lot of good that economically will happen for everybody. On the other hand, you know, are we just getting started in the United States, or do we have it pretty well contained, and we're going to have instances, and we're going to continue to have instances, but it's not going to be on a massive scale like it is in China? I don't, you know, I think those are the kinds of questions that say, well, yeah, no wonder the market's a little worried here.
Well, how do people get, just in terms of numbers, as I zero in on my usual stuff, my usual shtick, when people say 100 million people had, well, actually what I was just showing, it said 50 million to 1,000 million people, to a billion. How does anybody know, have a freaking clue, every year, for instance, one of the ladies that she does some nursing stuff over, nursing stuff, she's a nurse, she works the series as well, she said a few weeks ago the hospitals were jammed early in this flu season. Right, so if everybody knows that, I think what it does, Kevin, is it makes everybody else, you know, unless it's your mother or somebody who's got, you know, compromised lungs where you get her in there no matter what, it means that you and I are probably going to have to be a little sicker before we walk in an emergency room. I've never walked in an emergency room with a flu or a cold. How does somebody have any idea? How does anybody have any idea whether I had a cold or a flu?
They don't, so they'll extrapolate the numbers, and that makes sense. But, you know, we live in that world all the time, Tom. How does a business measure customer satisfaction when they know that not everybody who's upset calls in and complains? You don't.
Right.
So you assume, you know, what you can count, you count, and then you assume if that's trending in the right way, so is the stuff you can't count.
Okay, but the one thing, we'll pick this up again on Friday, the one thing that, when you start seeing people go under, like you're saying with this just-in-time inventory, there's going to be people that can't just turn off their lines, send their people home, and 2 months from now, fly back in. You have to be careful in today's world where everybody looks at the averages. People look at the Dow and say, hey, the Dow's up since 1900. Yeah, but there's 30 new stocks.
Go back to 2008. You know, we had the credit markets meltdown, and there were good reasons for that. But what was the catalyst? The catalyst was when fuel prices ran up earlier in the year. All of a sudden, businesses were getting hurt. That forced some layoffs. The businesses
right.
that couldn't absorb higher transportation costs. Or businesses that were reliant on fuel. You know, fuel efficiency as part of their product line. There were so many things that impacted earlier in the year, and once you start, you know, it's really falling dominoes. And I go back to say, why would the market be, really spooked about this? Because they're afraid of, you know, if a few dominoes start to fall early, what could happen? Because now you just start, you know, it's only the small business. It's not Apple that has to have massive layoffs or somebody like that. It's a small manufacturer. It's a distributor of cell phones. It's somebody like that. And each time one of those takes a hit, then you have people who aren't able to pay bills, who are defaulting on car loans, who are, you know, and that's what starts to cascade through. And that's,
all right, Kevin.
That's the 9 or 10 month worry.
That's the truth. Take care of yourself, buddy. Talk to you on Friday. SP Futures up 62. We were up a little more earlier. NASDAQ Futures up 187. They were up 250. So we're still way up, but not as much as we were. Be back in a minute with Mr. Russell Rhodes.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, Audrey Johnson, at Realtor.com. That's Audrey Johnson at Realtor.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here. Right now.
gentlemen, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Hollies, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Mr. Russell Rhodes, wondering why we're playing.
Not my birthday.
No, it's Chicago's birthday. 183rd.
Oh, it's Chicago's birthday?
Yeah.
183 years old since, what would that be, 18...
Long time ago.
1837.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was...
Doesn't look a day over 150.
And it to say that it grew... Who was the first citizen?
First citizen? Was it Marquette?
No. He went through as a priest. He came through with Joliet. It was the black Frenchman... Du Sable? Yep, hence the name, it's a very, very serious French first name, that a John Lafitte Du Sable or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure you said it with emphasis. I'm not going to try.
Yeah, but that was
Jean Lafitte.
Yeah, it was, did they see what his first name was? It was something like that.
How do you spell his last name?
Du Sable University, Du Sable Bridge.
Oh, Du Sable, okay, yeah. Got it.
Why do you think the name Du Sable's all over the place around here?
That is.
Right. I the way you said it the first time, I thought there was a V as in Victor in there.
Oh, all right. My pronunciation is bad? Imagine that.
No, my hearing is bad. We know that.
But he...
you know, eventually you and I are going to be like the two old guys in the balcony on The Muppet Show.
Oh, God, you're absolutely right.
His name, by the way, Jean-Baptiste Pointe Du Sable.
Yeah, see?
Ooh. That's a name you want to get your name changed to.
I could do that.
Yeah, anybody can do that.
So
he was born in 1750.
Before we get going on the virus and feeling the burn and all that kind of stuff, I got an academic paper I'm going to forward to you that says you're going to choke on your coffee, that the inflation rate is actually overstated by about 0.5%.
I've read that.
Yeah, you saw that?
And
it's because of all of the digital stuff and how cheap it's made, you know, getting information and everything.
They still refuse. They're right about that.
You can always have gone to the library. Information was free there.
That's right.
Not the libraries we go to.
Yeah.
You can't,
the beers cost about $5.
Yeah.
You should send these people, whoever wrote it, the email we got from the our listener from Australia last week.
Okay.
Where his cousin or family member went from Vancouver to Vegas. Well, I don't know if he went for a vacation or for business or whatever. He comes down with some, I'm guessing, heart attack, but I don't know. Spends 2 weeks in a Vegas hospital and dies.
Oh, my goodness.
$400,000 bill. Not covered by, like, the Canadian people. No insurance here. No break on the bill. They end up, like, selling the guy's house, liquidating all his other assets. His entire estate that he had built for, like, his kids went to a Vegas hospital in 2 weeks. So whoever wrote that paper, yeah, I guess that he got some stuff free on the internet. I'm not so sure.
He got to surf the net. They probably charged him at the hospital $20 a day for internet access.
Right. I mean, so it's... I mean, the idea that when you have the gorilla in the room, when you have people making, a family making $55,000 a year, if they get a decent hospitalization, it's $2,000 a month with a $6,000 or $10,000 deductible. It absolutely engulfs anything you might save on a TV that you buy once every 10 years. Mm-hmm. Like a prescription drug goes from 40 to 100. I mean, you don't have to buy a new Nehru suit every day, every month. You have to buy those drugs.
Yeah.
And I don't see anything like that in the CPI. And anybody who tries to take it the other way, you know.
I'm not disagreeing with you. We've beaten on this one for a while. So, the real cost of living is definitely needs to be adjusted somehow. But if it gets adjusted, that filters through to a lot of other things that the government doesn't necessarily want it to filter through to, such as salaries for teachers and things like that. Those are actually tied to the raises are actually tied to CPI very often. So you want to suppress that sucker.
Okay, but maybe we should write the contracts a little better and not penalize the rest of society.
You ever negotiated with teachers before?
Well, they think they have the upper hand.
Well, they kind of do, to a certain point. I've been on a school board and negotiating this stuff, and it was awful.
Well, at some point, you know, he's not my favorite president, but at some point, somebody somewhere is just going to say, $100,000 in a nice little town like this, you're all, we're gonna declare an impasse. The ad's going to go out for $85,000. We'll see who we get. Mm-hmm. I bet they're better than you guys. Somebody somewhere is going to have to do that.
Well, that was the, you know, I'm out. I was the Hinsdale K through 8 district was the one I was on the board of, and whenever we would, you know, have a teacher opening, which was pretty rare, we would get 300 or 400 applicants for, you know, one job, because it's just such a desirable place.
Yeah.
Plus, it's one of the higher paying districts. I'll bet you that, you know, if we cut the salary by 15%, which goes along with the number you just said, that we'd still get 100 or 200 applicants.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I think once a teacher settles in at a place they kind of like, they're probably not real keen on moving from place to place that much.
Well, and first of all, I mean, everybody who's listening to this knows that I don't ever want to treat somebody like that. And I don't think people should be treated like that. But the fact is, the rest of society has been getting beaten up by this one for 3 decades now. I don't give a crap, Russell. Somebody's going to put some 14-year-old to work in China for less. You're worth $11 an hour to me. I don't care if you got a PhD. You know, though you're going to do 3 times as much as the guy in China, maybe, or the girl, or whoever. I mean, we constantly drive the rest of society down. I mean, I don't care if you sold me eight things of tires last week in the Walmart. Somebody else is going to work for $12 an hour, and you want 15? Screw you. There's somebody on it. Uh-huh. But then there's different pockets of society, upper management at a lot of these firms, a lot of firms, because they're out of this economic loop. Clearly, uh-huh. if you're someplace in a city where you're deemed to be a job that people need, you're out of this economic loop. The harsh realities of the economic loop, I'll say. And it's not like it hasn't affected you at all. Some people haven't gotten a raise for 3-4 years in some cities, I'm sure. But by and large, if you piece together every public employee's salary increases over the last 20 years versus the mean person in the society, it's not even close.
Oh, no, they're doing, and the job stability part of it as well. You know?
Yeah. And then the pensions and all the rest of the stuff.
Yeah.
My mother's cousin.
I went in the wrong direction.
Oh, me too.
I should have just been a teacher. I'd have been a good teacher.
Oh, sure.
I'd probably look 5 years younger, too, because I'd have summers off to keep myself in shape.
Well, that's right. But I mean, yeah. my mother's cousin lives in Columbus. He was, I don't know. I've asked this before. I don't know who are the guys. They're not plumbers. But if you work at like one of Chicago's big pumping stations, one of those big power plants and stuff, you're more like I'm guessing you're gotta be like a manufacturer or a fluid engineer or something, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't fluid dynamics still an engineering degree? I'm not sure, but. Anyway, you're one of those.
I assume it would be almost like more of a mechanical.
Probably. Anyway, you're one of those guys. Now, they knew all along that they would probably make a little less there than they could in, quote, private practice. And yet, they had the nice pension and so forth, and they could retire when they were, whatever, 55, 60. I'm not saying right, wrong, or in the barrel, but he was saying, why do people think that I'm sitting at home and I shouldn't be sitting at home? And he was 65. I said, Johnny, you understand? I love you like a brother, man. But be careful with this, because in 5 years you're gonna mention the word pension in a room, and you're the only person who knows what it means. I mean,
that's true.
I mean, it's not like you don't deserve it, that you got less and you contributed. The fact is, there all those people in the room are sitting there going, "I'm paying for that guy, and nobody's paying for me." Mm-hmm. And when people get up and walk down the block and they see a teacher out there watering his lawn in his shorts in the summertime and. Waving as you're walking to the train, and he's getting a check. People go, "What the bleep?"
And then washing his Porsche when you come home.
Yeah, I mean, people are going, "What? How does this work?"
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's it's become, as you know very well, as an economics professor, economics is the science of allocating scarcity, correct?
Exactly. There's only so much to go around.
Right.
And so, you know, I think, you know, you and I are just bitter because we chose the private path.
And with the generation before us, that was the only path.
Now, I know.
In our generation, there is no question that I would have done an awful lot better if I just would have grabbed a job at a big bank coming out of school and just weathered my way through merger after merger and that kind of thing. There's no doubt. Or if I would have, when I was at First Options, right, I cleared through First Options, they continually offered me one of the jobs in management because I had my MBA and so forth. I said, no, man, it's trading, you know, I love competing, I like going to the pit, and it's every man or woman for himself, and I've met some great friends. I mean, I'd rather hire people and do that rather than buy seats and those kinds of things. Why would anybody buy seats? I mean, you'd rather somebody trade on a seat than buy a seat. Well, sure enough, First Options gets bought by Goldman Sachs, or First Options turned into Spear Leads, it got bought by Goldman Sachs. And, like, the guy who had the job I was offered got, like, $40 million, some bonus or something. Like, whoa. that would have been nice.
Management would have been easy.
Yeah, and now there's nobody left on the trading floor. But if I had if I would have had two seats, I'd never have to work again. Because they charge people just for quotes all day, and people pay it. You know, it's insane the direction things have gone, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, so being an entrepreneur in the last 30 years, unless everybody looks at Bill Gates, don't look at all the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's guys, you know, in Indiana that Kevin knows that have picked up on this distribution system movement out of Chicago and things that have acted to service those firms. There's guys that are entrepreneurs that maybe were in a machine building area that went sour and said, wait a minute, I can make just as much money servicing this stuff from Korea because you can't send a part back to Korea and get it back here on the machine. Where those guys, they're smart enough, they're nimble enough to still be an entrepreneur, still have a machine shop. It's just different than it was years ago. I mean, there's always going to be people that are nimble enough to do all this stuff, right?
Right.
And but the point is, in general, are the masses of people that are entrepreneurs, be it, you know, small restaurants, small bars, small this, I mean, farmers, are they doing as well as the people that are in these major corporations? Would you rather be an executive VP or Commonwealth Edison or worry about your own business? I mean, there's no doubt which would be the better spot economically.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I mean, right?
Oh, there's something to stability.
Plus they're paying amazingly higher. And how many people you know that own their own bar with all the headache make a fifth as much as somebody who's a senior VP at ComEd or People's Gas or someplace?
Oh, that's pretty typical.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't have to answer to the man.
Well, yeah, but you got to answer.
You got to answer
to 50 drunks every night, which is worse.
Oh my God! Well, I don't know, because you know, usually the man has issues too, so you never know what you're dealing with. So I'm going to pose a question to you because you always like to do that to me.
Yes.
How much do you think this market volatility has to do with the coronavirus, and how much do you think it has to do with the election? I think it's a mixture.
I think it's a mixture, but I also think it has to do with. Because the news is getting so discreet, you know, the virus numbers are bad, or the Fed's doing this, or the Fed's not doing this, and I think there's a total lack of standing orders. When you start seeing, you know, I was watching on Friday, even sort of in the middle of the day, between discreet news items, any movement in the NASDAQ futures was $30.
Yeah,
I mean, we're talking. If I can, I'll pull it up here. There's a expiration tonight in the Spider. It was every Wednesday. It's the S&P 500. Yeah. And if I can find this thing here. Last night, well, we're already up $5 today, you know, so there's a reason for, which is 1.5%, right? Well, last night, the 300 straddle where we were went out at 396, went out at, say, 780, which is roughly 2.4%, all right, in one day. Now, we went, I'm just putting a time frame in there. When Obama was president in 15, 16, or 17, whatever it was, the market went up. But there wasn't a 1% move in a day for, what, 18 months, something like that?
Oh, yeah. It was like a year and a half.
So now we're pricing 2.5%.
Nothing going on.
So now we're pricing 2.5% today.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a dramatic difference. Yesterday we had 150 spook point move. That was 2%, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a lot of it has to do with, I mean, I can't even imagine. I'm not on the floor and I don't see people where they're flashing markets at you. What do you suppose the market is for a 10 lot in a spooze? How wide is it? 50, half a point? A point? 2 points?
Probably as wide as they're allowed to post it right now. Although it's a little bit different. Because it's a little bit more electronified than it was even 5 years ago. So that's narrowed the spread somewhat because the computers can keep up a little bit. But, you know, I don't think John's been down there, but I've seen some other people that are on the floor that'll sneak pictures of the S&P pit, and there's still a lot of standing around talking, even with all that's going on.
Well, I think a lot of those guys are doing it.
You never would expect.
Well, but I mean, a lot of those guys, most of the stuff that they're trading is trading on the automatic orders. They're just seeing it on their machines, and probably the machines are doing the hedging for them.
It's not the shift to a more hybrid model for the SPX has made it just a less fun thing to watch when you go there on the floor and wave at the guys. But they're handling they've handled record volume. I think the SPX had record volume on Monday or last Friday or something like that. Three of the top 10 days ever in SPX options has been in the past week and a half.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Yeah,
but you know, I actually think the election is having more of an impact on this stuff than most people. And I think as people drop, because you know the big rally we had recently coincided with a lot of people dropping out and basically explicitly or implicitly endorsing Biden. And yesterday, you know, Biden, I think he did as well as anybody would have expected.
I would agree.
Yeah, and the result there is we've got a 600-point rally. So I'm starting to think that the election may have more of an influence than the coronavirus. SIBO's doing the risk management conference right now, and they did a online, you know, poll on the Twitter, you know, do you think, or I think it was on Instagram actually, and the outcome was basically about 50% of people think it had to do with the election, and about 50% of people think it had to do with the coronavirus.
Traders
are actually just as focused on, you know, the election is the coronavirus.
Well, last week we were down pretty much all week. It was the worst week in forever. So we had a big bump up on Monday. Yesterday it looked like we were going to go flying again with the Fed doing their stuff. We turned around and went way down.
We went down.
Yeah. And now this morning we're up two-thirds maybe of what we were down yesterday. So to draw a conclusion here, like I was mentioning with Kevin, I have not seen anything, and I don't have the bandwidth myself to figure out, given the world's debt situation, and given the fact that these economies in some places have to be absolutely cratering, 80% down in car sales in China. I mean, the airlines can't be
going to catch up.
Yeah, I mean, there can't be. I mean, is anybody going on a cruise? I mean, there's. It's not like that stuff. You know, a year from now. I mean, if everybody's healthy by Memorial Day, I mean, and if this thing's gone, it's not going to be something the averages don't come back from. But the question is, how many people along the way are going to miss interest payments? If they miss an interest payment to Chief and Russell, you know, hedge fund, and we've got $90 billion and two people miss an interest payment, it's not the end of the world. But if all of a sudden we borrowed all that money from some bank and now we don't make the payment to the bank, now, I mean, I don't, it's like the Sears situation. Well, they got all this real estate. Okay, but Nate, give me a sample. Let me know. Russell and I will go out and look at 10 properties that we randomly sample. Is it a lease? Is it not a lease? Is it a good lease? A lease we could sell? It's a lease we want out of? Do we own the property? Is it depreciated? Not depreciated? Is there a mortgage? I mean, you don't know till you look. And we've got, again, is that we've got this idea that, you know, say the Dow's back to where it was or a record compared to God knows when. But nobody ever looks to see, well, wait a minute, there's five different stocks in here. What happened to those guys? Well, they're out of business. Okay. So if you actually owned all the stocks, the average is there, but your account isn't, you know, type of thing. So are we going to lose some people along the way? And if we do, I'm still a bottom-up kind of guy. If we lose 25 companies along the way, what does that number have to get to? 25, I don't think we have a problem losing 25 companies, or 50, or 100, maybe even a couple hundred. But what if it's between China and here? What if it's 2,000? There's some point at which the people holding the notes have a problem, and what the averages can't gloss over.
Yeah, right?
And I don't think we're there yet, but I don't know where it is, and I haven't found any analysis that's helped me out. I guess this is my confusion.
Well, we've talked about the China situation and how a lot of companies are basically, you know, if they were people, they'd be living check to check. I actually think the rate cut yesterday was more about China than about helping China than about the U.S. And you got to assume, sometimes I disagree with you on this one, but the way the markets were acting starting Sunday night, people knew this was coming.
Oh, you mean the Fed leaked this to the private people again?
Well,
I'm shocked. I'm shocked and appalled.
On this one, because I know we're bumping up against a half hour too. I think that that people started to get wind of it. But who's the biggest holder of U.S. debt?
The U.S. No.
No, I thought China was.
No, they're
okay. Well, China's a huge holder.
It's the U.S. I mean, it's people here. Then it's Japan, and then it's China, like a percent of part or something. Right. And then it drops way off.
If China's got a cash flow problem, what better can you do than do something that'll bump up one of the biggest assets, the prices of one of the biggest assets they hold?
Well, but that's right. But also, what exactly does a rate cut do when you don't force
it through? Gives them a chance. Okay, you're a bank in China. You've loaned money to a company that shut down.
Okay.
You've got employees of the company that are not getting paid. And the people that aren't getting paid need to get some money to go buy something. If you're the bank and you're in that situation, you got to sell something. Or if, you know, you're basically backed by a central bank that needs to come up with cash to help you out. One of the easiest things for them to sell are treasuries. And if the price of treasury gets bumped up because of a ridiculous rate cut that really wasn't needed, that's going to help you out.
Then you have to ask the overriding question of what is making something a really bad investment? How does that help you in the long run? And then also,
it doesn't necessarily help you in the long run, but it gets you past being shut down, and maybe gets you to the point. It gets like almost like a bridge loan to get you back in shape, to get everybody back to work and start making crap and sending it to the U.S.
All right, so but if you don't, if the interest rate drop, and by the way, I'm not arguing that lower interest rates in general, it's like running a marathon. You need to drink water, but if you drink 2 gallons, you die, you know, type of thing.
Exactly. I think the 50 basis point cut was the dumbest thing ever, and I think doing any cut before the actual meeting was just a big old waste of a couple of bullets as well.
Well, but here's the question I want to ask: why don't if they think the Fed, the government, you know, Trump, God knows what the hell he thinks, if they think that this interest rates going down is a cure for something, okay, and I'm not going to argue with you that it isn't, by the way, why don't they pay any attention whatsoever of forcing it down the chain? Why have the credit card rates gone higher in the last 10 years when the rates have been like zero?
Because people are willing to, you know, because the banks are willing to give them. People who, in worse circumstances, cannot, you know, can't get credit are now getting it and running these things up.
You're not doing anybody a favor.
When you got, you know, 3-4% unemployment.
Let's continue this after the break, Russell.
Worry about getting paid back.
Let's continue this after the break. SP Futures up 58. As if he was at 163, that's pretty high up, but not as high as it was a minute ago. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. Just from over on the board. We have Sir Russell Rhodes with us as well. S&P futures up 58. Nasdaq futures up 159. Dow up 603. Again, this is down from the highs here this morning, but still pretty darn high. Comparing it to yesterday, Dow was down 785, so let's say 75% of the way back. S&P futures down 86, so let's say 70% of the way back. NASDAQ was down 268, so that's maybe two-thirds back, not as much. around the rest of the world. We've got over in Europe, we got the DAX up 134, 1%. FTSE up 83, 1.2%. CAC around up 53, 1%. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei up 17. Call that flat. Shanghai up 18.6%. Hang Seng down 62.2%. So, amazingly, not much going on over there. 10-year yield is back over 1%. It actually dipped under for a while. Amazing. Wow. The Bund, minus 0.61. Japan, minus 0.14. We've got oil up 79 cents, 47.97. Brent up 76 cents, 52.62. Natural gas, $1.80 unchanged. RBOB, $1.55, up a penny. We got gold now down $2, but still $16.50 in the middle of 16 range here. Silver, $17.18. Copper, $2.58. That's up a penny. Individual stocks, we've got, Apple up $5.94. We've got 3M up $3. We've got, Home Depot up $4. So pretty much everything. United Healthcare is up $23. It's been down a bunch the last few days, so to make a pretty big bump back. So pretty much everything is up this morning so far. But it was up a lot before the Fed threw the thing out, right after they threw the thing out yesterday, and then we went the other way. So hopefully we'll stay up here today. Manny, what do you got for us?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have traffic building steadily on the Edens and Kennedy, but no accidents to report. Same for the Eisenhower and Stevenson. Dan Ryan, I-57, the Bishop Ford, all normal traffic volumes at this hour. No accidents or stalls to make you aware of. Same for the suburban tollways. Only issues right now up in the North Shore, US 41 at Route 176 in Lake Bluff, there's a crash. And then just north of there, US 41 at Route 173 up near the Wisconsin border, there is a crash as well. So a couple of issues up in the northern suburbs. Still have that significant issue on the south side. Central Avenue between 54th and Archer is closed because a car was struck by a freight train, and that happened earlier this morning about 6:25, and that's going to be closed throughout the day today as the investigation and cleanup continues from that. But everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, the sun is starting to peek out. The rain is moving out of the area. We'll reach a high of 43 degrees. With some sunshine. Right now it is clear and 38 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 75 today. Right now it's clear and 52. In sports, don't look now. Hawks have now won 3 in a row. They blew out the Ducks last night, 6-2 at the UC. Blackhawks are 6 points out of the final playoff spot in the West. The Coyotes were off. The Bulls were off as well. Suns lost at home to the Raptors, 123-114. College Buckets, DePaul topped Marquette in an upset win down at Wintrust Arena, 69-68. Chief.
And you didn't mention the no high fives or the no autographs.
Who announced that?
NBA.
The NBA said the players will not be giving high fives or autographs.
They recommended their players no more autographs, no more high fives.
I mean, I don't blame them.
So you go off to, after the victory, you can't even smack the guys on the hand. They just paid $500 to see you. Just saying.
I think you can do whatever you want, but I think they're advising people not to touch people you don't know.
Maybe there's a fine. Who knows?
There's a fine?
There's not a fine. He just made that up.
I don't know. I said maybe.
Okay. I was like, goodness gracious.
Well, I don't know if it was a recommendation or if it was a rule or what it was. Came out. All I saw was the, and you don't have to shake hands at church anymore either.
Well, maybe they could just start doing all the sports ball in empty arenas.
Yeah. Well, it's
everybody keeps talking about the NCAA tournament. That'll be an interesting one. By the way, yeah, I heard you guys talking about Spokane. Spokane, Washington is a long ways from Seattle. And honestly, unless they're going to bust in a bunch of people from nursing homes, I don't think you have a whole lot to worry about.
I would agree.
And I wish they would do a better job of sharing the statistics on who this thing is actually killing. It's actually, I think a vast majority of the people are at an elevated age.
Yes.
They're people of a certain age.
And they have lung issues.
And, you know, my kids are absolutely terrified of this thing right now. And, yeah, I keep explaining to them that I think 0.2% of the deaths have been for people under the age of 20 or something, really minuscule.
Yeah, but guys that are 55 smoking a pipe and cardigan sweaters, it goes right for them. They're worried about you.
That's right. Absolutely. And yeah. I've been all over the place. If anybody in my house has the likelihood of having it, it's me.
I've been to New York and I've been to London since it's been going on. And in London, I sat next to two people from Hong Kong for lunch.
What makes you think that your wife is not ordering a test online as we speak?
She's taking my test. She got four thermometers for the house, and she's checking the temperature on everybody every day.
Why do you need four?
You're supposed to have one, because if one of us has it, you don't want the other one to get it.
You don't cross-contaminate the thermometers, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Well, that's what alcohol was for when I was a kid.
You know, and now we had to buy three extra toothbrushes. We can't share a toothbrush anymore.
I never did that.
I hope he's kidding about that.
Yeah, I hope he's kidding. But the interesting part is that the ladies went to the Walmart, because one of the ladies likes to go to the Walmart and wherever in Lamont, out of bleach. Of course, the next morning at the Myers, they not only have all kinds of bleach, it's on sale. But then Audrey went the next day, and at the Jewel or someplace, they're out of rubbing alcohol.
Okay.
And but they had all kinds of peroxide, and they had some bleach. But what do you do exactly if you go buy like 5 gallons of bleach and all of a sudden this thing goes away? What do you do with the bleach?
Well, luckily, I think it keeps.
Well, I think it keeps forever. But what are you going to use it for?
Why is everybody running out and buying toilet paper? And I'm sure there's a logical reason for it, but I keep seeing people on social media with, you know, empty shelves of toilet paper and paper towels.
Have you ever been
at the Costco? And I mean, can somebody explain why?
In case they have to self quarantine,
yeah,
they
want to self quarantine.
They want to stock up on the necessities.
We will not be named. But one of the contributors to the show bought 20 pounds of rice. Somebody told me one of the listeners sent me a note. They went into a store and the entire pasta thing was empty.
Yeah, I heard that one. That's, you know, and I guess that's another one that keeps for you.
Yeah. They could get buggy after a while, but, you know.
Yeah. stock up on my favorite candy.
Yeah, so what do you, I mean, in Florida, I mean, the hurricane's supposed to, at least there, those guys have issues, but they all go out and buy batteries and bottled water and plywood, I get. The batteries, what do you do with the batteries? Either your house is blown away or it's not. I mean,
if your house, I lived through a situation in Memphis where we lost power for 3 weeks.
Okay.
We had it was just, you know, the perfect mixture of an ice storm. And, you know, where I lived, we lost it for 3 weeks. My parents didn't have it for 2 days longer than me.
If
all you're going to do is sit around and listen to the radio and stuff, you need batteries. I really think that's what the batteries are for.
Well, we also need, you don't need lights,
and
you need
flashlights and all that kind of stuff.
You hope you would have a generator. Hey, but ask a question and you will get the answer. Ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
Were you ever on that show? Ask an expert?
No.
I'm
an expert in one thing that nobody really cares about except for once every couple of years.
There used to be an all-day business show here in Chicago, Channel 26. Mm-hmm. And a couple of the shows were Ask an Expert. It's a South Side. Mm-hmm. Ask an Expert. Ask an Expert, as they say in the South Side. Anyway, Japan, $1.15 trillion U.S. debt. China, $1.069. So Japan is leaked ahead of them.
Okay.
Who do you think would be third? My friend, can you name the next three and or four or five? I could not have, by the way.
I feel like one of them was Russia at one time. Okay. So the top three were us, Japan, and China.
Well, then there's all, you know, there's the domestic holdings, but the foreign holdings, Japan, mainland China.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused, because if you were to add Taiwan in there, then they would be higher than Japan.
Okay. Taiwan one of the other ones?
No, I knew you were going to go for that, but no, that doesn't.
Yeah, well, you tricked me into that.
Yeah, I tricked you into that.
Goodness gracious. I'm going to say India, and then I'm going to start guessing
India's
large.
You're not even
European countries.
How does a PhD not even be close? United Kingdom, $332 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Brazil, this I would not have guessed this at all.
No.
281. Now, this one's got to be somewhat of a hybrid, because this has got to be some of our guys' money over there. Number five is Ireland. 281? I'm thinking it's US
maybe
money
not,
coming
you know
back.
What? Maybe not, because they after 2008, they took austerity measures and they attracted a ton of business, and I would not be the least bit surprised if they're somewhat flush with cash.
Well, the reason it makes me think that and disagree with you a little bit is not because anything you said that I know more of, but the next one is Luxembourg at 258. So I got to believe that's not all their dough. It's got to be some from here coming back.
Good Lord.
And Switzerland's, and Switzerland's next, and the Cayman Islands are next. So I'm thinking...
Now, you are starting to get into rich U.S. guys hiding stuff elsewhere.
Yeah, so I'm thinking Ireland might be part of that mix. I don't think...
I wouldn't be surprised, because they're a lower tax place. And do you have an Irish passport?
Not yet, but I'm working on one, especially with the way the politics is here.
Mm. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Are you gonna move away if he gets reelected?
No, but who's to say 4 years from now it won't be somebody worse than either one of these guys?
It's very possible.
It's not like we're going the right direction with this.
No, we're not. I've said this multiple times, but I really, you know, when Trump got elected and everybody was fearing for the worst and they were more right than I was, my attitude was, I hope we get more business people involved. And, you know, I was really excited about Howard Schultz from Starbucks thinking about running. He went out for a couple of weeks and got beaten up so badly that he was like, I'm just not going to do this. I'll go find something else to do.
Why is it that we've gotten, Kevin and I talked about this earlier, why the, I don't want to repeat, but I was talking about being on the board of the CBOE as a member. There was, back in the day, there was a piggy move-up. Some guy decided to spend some time on a committee. Then maybe he had another committee. If you got to three committees, then you were known. They say, wait a minute, this guy's actually spending a lot of time here and maybe doing some good. Then if you were a chairman and you did some good job as a chairman and people liked you, you wanted to be on your... There's a progression here. You know, I think that there was a progression in Washington where... As a rep, you sat on the Agriculture Committee or the God knows what committee. You actually did a good job. You listened to people. You did something productive. Part of the bill had your name on it because you actually did some work on it. You get notice. This Russell guy not only is here, you know, to take up space, as my grandmother used to say, but he's actually doing something to where I really want him on my committee because he does some crap, right? And now maybe I'll make him my second in command, even though he's younger than the rest of these guys. And you all of a sudden start doing stuff, and people say, here's somebody who's a little bit different than the average bear. And you work your way up, and then maybe you get known more, you get a chairmanship, maybe then you become a senator. There's a way, I'm not saying that's how people have to be president, but now you get the routine is, you know, Maybe Oprah should be president. Whoa.
You know, okay.
You know, but now that's where we are. A business guy who's done all, I mean, a guy like Tillerson. The guy's got to be smart enough to be there. But there are people that have had jobs in business and then jobs in government and back. And the guy I always thought was the most qualified person to run for president was Howard Baker. He wanted no part of it, right?
Who?
Like Howard Baker, remember him? In the
Howard Baker. Yeah.
I mean, here's a guy that was business. I think he had military background, and he was in government. I mean, the guy was brilliant, I thought. I don't remember. I think he was Republican. But I mean, there are people that come out as people that just, you know a hell of a lot, and every place they've been seems to do a little better because they're there. I mean, what else?
You know who you just described was Mitt Romney.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that I think he would have done a pretty good job.
Yeah, I do too.
And gotten elected.
So I mean, and
you never know. At this point, I mean, everybody. I never a year ago, I never would have thought Biden would be the front runner, really, just because of age. You know,
you feel like
their time has come and gone. But
you would think
Biden is the youngest guy still running.
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
I know. Did you get your Elizabeth Warren email this morning asking for, she said to continue her momentum, she needs some money.
What momentum?
I got mine this morning.
What momentum?
I swear to God, that's what her email said. She needs a donation because there's six more primaries in the next couple of weeks, and she's got to continue with the momentum that they're gaining.
I'm actually fairly impressed with both the Buttigieg and the Amy, whatever her name is, from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. They came in, they did a nice job, didn't insult people too bad, proved they got some intelligence, proved they've accomplished some stuff, bowed out when at about the right time, and I think they did their careers pretty serious positive stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're running for a cabinet post.
Well, but they're also they're both 8 years
away. Which is fine, you know.
Yeah, but they're running. They're 8 years away. Who's to say that you know one of the judge doesn't become a senator for? I mean, but clearly they handled themselves pretty well in the public eye on a ridiculous 8-person stage. They didn't come across as some moron. And she's got some legislative record, and he's been a mayor in a tough city to be a mayor in. So, I mean, we got, maybe there's some young people that can help us out if we can last.
Well, I think we're more than overdue for a generational shift. Heck, we had one, and then we moved back to a bunch of really old people.
Yeah.
At least they make me feel young.
Well, as Mandy Weber said, Chief, your generation has screwed everything up. You got to fix it before you go.
That'd be nice.
No.
Something to be said for that.
You guys were handed everything. You guys were handed an economy, a free education, basically. You know.
What?
I mean, your guys' education, well, not you, but Chief's education cost as much as my high school education.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or probably less.
And I had to walk.
Yeah, my college was less than my high school.
Yeah, I mean.
In my high school. No, I was just thinking about, when you said that, I was thinking, good Lord, someday, and this will, and I'm not wishing this on you, I swear, but wait until you have a year with 10-15% inflation.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. We did come through some stuff, but the '80s were awesome. '80s and '90s were awesome. So we have benefited from some good timing as well, and we haven't been involved in. You know, we've been involved in wars, but goodness, we have not been involved in, you know, a catastrophic World War II type situation.
Yeah, your generation.
Yeah, my generation was in high school. 9/11 happened. Right after college, the financial collapse happened, and then ever since then, it's been Obama and Trump and skyrocketing student loan college yeah. pricing, no zero interest rates, and basically no opportunity.
Right.
That's been my generation.
Yeah, nothing at the lower level. But you also didn't have to suck through a little bit older than me, those guys.
And 5 million gun shootings every day, it seems like.
But you didn't have to worry about Vietnam, which was
true.
A gut wrench for a whole
that's
generation.
True. The one positive, I would say, not the one positive, but a positive is it's been an all-voluntary army in my lifetime, and that's I appreciate that.
Yeah, it still doesn't make it any better for the guy who gets maimed or killed.
I agree.
Yeah.
But at least they have a choice to sign up. And I'm appreciative that they do sign up.
Or else other people would be forced to sign up.
Right, otherwise we wouldn't have that choice. So I'm absolutely appreciative and honor them at every possibility.
I'll tell you what,
but they do have a choice.
I would like to see, even on a smaller scale, I would like to see some sort of public service where people either do something for 6 months, maybe go to boot camp and...
I think a year between high school and college, like, not necessarily universal military indoctrination, but something like along the lines of what you're talking about. You know, where my daughter has to maybe volunteer at do work at an inner city school or something for a year or something along those lines.
Who pays for that?
Yeah, I think it would be across the board useful. Beyond, if you mix everybody up from all over the country and make them work together a little bit, it might help with some of the divides as well.
Well,
sounds like socialism to me, guys. I don't think so.
No, that's not socialism.
Who's paying for it?
There's nothing wrong with a form of universal military indoctrination.
Who's paying for it?
The government's paying for it.
Then it's socialism.
But look, Israel is not a socialist country.
I think
they have them.
Maddie's generation.
Every country is a socialist country. It just depends on what service you're talking about.
Maddie's generation needs a.
At what, you know, depends on the level of it, yeah.
Maddie's generation needs a solid shack of having to put together with a bunch of people you never met, and in 6 weeks, having to be able to come out and work together, even if you don't like them. Can't spend your time on your phone. You actually got to do something. Even my stepfather.
You act like I haven't been working in the public sector where when I'm in a room, I'm oftentimes the only white guy.
Matt, what time did you get up today?
4:50.
And when will your work day finish?
5:30-ish.
Yeah, I'm not criticizing Matt at all ever again in my life.
Why?
I work about 12 or 13 hours every day.
I know you do. You work your ass off.
I bet he does.
You work very hard.
I bet he does 30 personal phone calls, 50 personal emails, and texts.
Who, Matt does?
Yeah, during the day.
I don't do any personal phone calls,
fine.
But texts
so
and emails,
he's putting in 12-hour days, and he's spending an hour on that stuff. Do you take lunch, Matt? No, you don't.
Very rarely. I usually eat at my desk. Yeah, it sucks. I used to take lunch all the time.
I'm not picking on that.
I'm not either.
My point was is that in this day and age, especially if you're working in a technology field, you're dealing with every country every day. Like you're not dealing with old white guys every day.
I don't disagree with that.
In fact, you don't deal with old white guys at all.
Well, that's probably a good thing.
That's not a good or a bad thing. I'm just saying, like I'm dealing with a lot of Indian people, a lot of Chinese people, a lot of women, and certainly a lot of young people. I'm now becoming one of the older people.
Well, my stepfather, who could have, in a lot of ways, could have been the world's grumpiest guy. He was in the Army. He was going to be a navigator on a plane, and it was going to be shipped out to Okinawa or someplace, like essentially 2 days after the atomic bomb hit. And then he never had to go because basically peace occurred on the day he was supposed to head to the airport to get out there. And but he was in, went through all the basics and all that stuff. And as a manager, I don't know I've ever seen anybody much better. He didn't care what you looked like, what you smelled like. I mean, if you did the stuff you were supposed to do and got along with the people around you, he was with you. He didn't care if you had four heads. Which was unusual in that day. And he said to me one day, he goes, I learned all that in the Army. You have to get together with 20 other people, most of whom you're never going to like, but it doesn't matter. You had a common goal, and you at least had to work together during the day. You went your separate ways when you ever had to leave. He said, but for those hours, you learned to work together because you all depended on each other. He goes, the education is, and Lou will tell you the same thing. I mean, it wasn't like I was anxious to enlist in Vietnam. To me, to go over there to get shot at behind a, in the jungle was not my idea of fun. I don't know if I'd drafted, I would have gone. There's a lot to be said for learning. I think that if you were to get, and again, Matty, I wouldn't be drafting people, but if I had to scratch and I would start next summer, and I want to start everything small because if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I would love to have 300 people coming from the south side that volunteer to want to be there, put them on a bus every morning, take them out to some area in the forest preserves, do a huge experiment on cleaning up the underbrush, planting a whole bunch of stuff, see if we can get an oxygen plume out of the place, something like that. And, can we make a real difference out there in those places? And I think the answer is we could. Now, who knows? But I think we could. And now those kids, are they all going to like each other? I mean, is it a place where they can, have, three hats in a cot for 3 days during the week in the summertime and not get shot? Maybe do a little high school education while you're there, do all that stuff. We have to do something. Whatever we're doing now is not working, I don't think. So I'm willing to try some stuff.
Yeah, I agree. That's why we should keep voting for the guys that keep doing the same things over and over again.
I never said. How do we get some new person?
Biden and Trump. That's what we want.
But you know what? A lot of this stuff I'm talking about is on the local level. I mean, Kevin's right about that.
I agree.
I mean, the city of Chicago should do that. And if it works for 2 years, then say, look, here's, drop that number on other cities. And if there's 20 cities that do it, maybe then you decide, can you get federal money? Would it help, or would that screw you up? Do you want them over your shoulder, or don't you? I mean, those are decisions you have to make after a while. But the first thing I do is prove out the concept, right? You have to say this has helped these kids. Now, all right, Russell, 10 seconds. SP Futures up 58 points. NASDAQ Futures up 160. We'll be back tomorrow. Stacks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.